I want to be back in the Psalms for just a moment. I knew we were talking about prayer tonight, but not necessarily being there in the Psalms. But one thing I think Mike hit at, as you read through the Psalms, you see the whole scope of human emotion. You have the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and everything in between. And so there is certainly easy to place ourselves there within the emotions of the Psalms. I was thinking and reflecting. I like this time of year. You'll maybe get to know that one of the things I found Mike and I have in common, I don't like cold weather. And so this, weather-wise, is not my favorite time of year. I'm already looking forward to May. But I like the time of year because, at least in a degree, we tend to see maybe a little bit more goodwill, thankfulness, people appreciative of the things that we have. I don't think that's just because of the period of time of Thanksgiving, and I don't think it's just because of the period of approaching time in which the world celebrates Christmas and at least gives some thought to some religious emotion or connection there. But as I think about that, I think about the ending of a year. And I think that's a natural thing. We naturally tend to rise in the morning. And yes, thank God for the night's rest. But I think more the morning is a time of petition. I'm looking at the things that are ahead. We're looking forward to the events that the day will hold. And we're thinking about those things. We're praying for that guidance, for that direction, for good to happen, for open doors, opportunities before us. It's natural then to come to the close of the day and reflect back and think, thank you for the things that you did. That's somewhat true for a year as well. I'm thankful for the things that have. And so it's a time, I think, of a reflection. We look back, and even though this has been such a crazy year, certainly a different year, I hope we still look back and begin to realize, you know, there was so much that we did have to be thankful for. There was so much that did go well. There were so many opportunities that were open to us that we realized there is a lot for which we have to be thankful. And when we do so, then hopefully that sets our resolve to continue on that path. In fact, strengthen that path. So I want to be in Psalm 145 for a few moments and think there, a psalm of praise in many ways, a psalm that calls us to praise God, be thankful unto Him. I'm going to break this into three sections as I read it. Thoughts that came to mind, certainly more that we could drill down on. But the first three verses, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The title I gave those three verses, Praise God. Full stop. So many times we want to complete a statement. Praise God because of... No, stop. Praise God. There's no reason that I see given in those three verses. Praise God. Praise God because He is. Praise God because of His existence. Praise God because He is worthy to be praised. He is desiring, deserving is the word I was searching for there. He is deserving of our honor. Regardless of how things have gone, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's been a great year, whether it's been a crazy year, regardless of the circumstances around us, we can stop and remember, praise God. He is God. He is the Creator. That's the whole point in many ways, I believe, to the book that precedes the Psalms. As you think about Job, The question is really leveled against God. Are you worthy to be praised? If you took everything away from Job, why would he praise you? He would curse you, turn from you. That's not what he did. Instead, he continued to praise God, even as you move into chapter 2 and his health begins to be affected and his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? He's going to continue to praise. He's going to continue to honor God. And it reminds us he is worthy of our praise regardless of the circumstances that are all around us. Praise God. I think even there, if you will, turn back just a few pages, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and look in verse 2 and 3. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The simple reminder to us there, he is. He's the self-existent one. He is the one that has brought all things into existence. He is the one that is worthy of our praise. Praise God. And then the psalmist is going to move into maybe what we would consider the traditional. Praise God, because think about all that he's done. Think of how good he is to us. Think of how he has blessed us. Moving back there into Psalm 145 and verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of all thy wonderful works. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousnesses. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Here's that section that we maybe naturally think of. Praise God because of what he has done. And specifically here in this section, I'm thinking of what he's done generically. What he's done generically for all of the world. As you read through there, notice the idea of a consistency. This is who God is. From generation to generation, he starts with there in verse 4, people are going to know of the good works of God. It's going to shine forth even unto all people. Verse 6, men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. I will declare thy greatness. Throughout all of this, I see the idea all people will recognize who God is. All people will see the goodness that he has done. May not all humble themselves to recognize it. But they can see it. I think there of Matthew 5, specifically there Jesus is making the lesson concerning the idea of the love of God. But Matthew 5 and verse 44, are we not reminded that he sets his sun to rise on the evil and on the good? He sheds his rain upon the just and upon the unjust. As we think there of the goodness of God, we think maybe of James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Here's the goodness of God that he has shed forth on all people, and there's so much that we have in this world to thank him for. So praise God. And number 3, as you finish out that psalm, I think there of the idea, praise God, but now not generically for the works that he has done. Praise God for the works that he has shown specifically unto his people. And think of you and I as we go through that section. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men the mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of the Lord wait upon thee. Excuse me, verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Here specifically, think of what God has done for us. Now, I think included in that, we have to make recognition God has done this for all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3 and verse 16. He's made the possibility for all. But these are the blessings unto those who have humbled themselves unto Him. These are the blessings unto those who have turned to Him, that are following Him in truth. I think about Ephesians 1 and verse 3, that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, He's richly blessed us in life, but there are certain blessings that are only available unto those in His Son. Only available to those who have humbled themselves unto Him. A verse we sometimes use that I certainly came to mind as you read those words, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 is maybe first challenging us to look at your life and how you're living. Just for example, go to verse 11. Eschew evil, do good. Let them seek peace and ensue it. Why? Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's going to bless and help His people. So I want to be walking with Him. Certainly there, even the challenge, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, who are you? You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar, let's read there, more special, not odd. You're a special people that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise Him for what He has done to us, and let it show forth in our lives. When Paul looks at all that God has done, maybe I've made the comment here before, I don't know. Book of Romans, Paul spends 11 chapters to get to the last four, because he talks about all that God has done for our salvation, the need for all that for the salvation of God, and what God has done to supply that and richly supply it. And he speaks of the great and overflowing mercies of God. And what's his conclusion as he moves into chapter 12? Now go and live. Live uprightly because of what God has done. I beseech you, I beg you, Romans 12 and verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I believe that he's primarily looking unto us, but I like to think maybe there's a twofold idea there. Proving as a metal. You're going to show forth what this life is. And you're going to prove, you're going to show for yourself when you live the Christian life that it is that good and acceptable and perfect way of God. But you're not just going to see it for yourself. You're going to show the world. You're going to see others that observe your life that is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Praise God because of what He has done for His people. And certainly, that's a point we could go on for much longer. And how does He wrap it all up? As you praise God simply for who He is, as you praise God for what He has done, as you praise God for what He specifically has done for His people, what's the charge? Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Everybody, if they would recognize what God has done, everybody should praise God. But I can't control everybody. I can control me. And so the psalmist says, I know what I'll do. The psalmist is the Joshua. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The psalmist says, I will praise the Lord. The challenge comes to us. What will we do with it? Oh, God is richly blessed us, but He's worthy of our praise simply because of who He is. He's worthy of our praise because of what He has done for all the world, and He's worthy of His praise because of what He's done for us as His people. The challenge comes to us to go forth and to live, have our lives changed, challenged, to live faithfully for Him. Maybe there's one here tonight who, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about what He's done. I want to know more about why He's worthy of my praise. We'd love to sit down and study with you. Maybe there's one who knows Him, knows what we ought to be doing in our lives, simply haven't done it. Ready even this night to be like those first century individuals who heard the word of the gospel, who believed it, were ready to repent of their sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins. That is a pattern that we see repeated throughout the book of Acts. And what they enjoyed in that first century, we can enjoy even tonight. Washing away of those sins, the Lord adding us into His church, we raise up again into newness of life. I can enjoy the same thing. Go on my way rejoicing as the Ethiopian did in Acts 8. Maybe there's one who's fallen away. We've let the things of this world so easily distract us. And when we stop and consider even the words of the psalm that challenges us, be thankful unto God. Praise Him. Live for Him. Recognize, as I want to get back into that, maybe you need the prayers of even this great family that I know is going to surround you, encourage you, support you. Maybe some other need that you have. If there's something that you need to change in your life, why not take this opportunity, this night, this time, to do so, even as we encourage you, as together we stand, as we sing.